let's get into Democrat of the Day. Okay, so when we look at the new maps, there are some districts. Well, first of all, there's some numbers that have completely changed wildly. That the original, when we're talking about, we talked to, is it Kelly Morrison? Is 33B. That's the south side of Lake Minnetonka or Wayzata area. Not anymore. After redistricting, 33B is the very eastern side of the state. It's Stillwater, Bayport, Oak Park Heights. It's going to be Marin on St. Croix. And then it brings up on, basically pulls in Forest Lake itself. It's going to be over there. This is a seat that if the DFL is going to hold the Minnesota House, this is a seat that they have to hold. They have to hold this seat. It is that much of a priority. One of the candidates who's declared to run for this seat for the DFL is Carrie Mitchell. She's kind enough to today to join us to talk about her upcoming race. Carrie, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. Let's start off, since we're getting into this. I wanted you to give everyone out there a little bit of a background information. Who exactly is Carrie Mitchell?
Well, I'm a lifelong Minnesotan, and I've lived in my area. Scandia is also included in 33B.
Indeed.
Yep. I've lived here for many years. My background is in public higher education, and before that, in healthcare, providing direct care to patients. So, you know, I've declared for the race, and I'm running to write and pass meaningful legislation that strengthens our communities and improves the lives of Minnesotans.
You are in a, well, let's first of all talk about how pretty your district is. I mean, it's absolutely stunning.
Beautiful.
Oh, it is. It really is. And I've done that going up to William O'Brien a few times. And I love going up in that area. Let's talk about the environment. You have possibly one of the nicest stretches of river in the entire state, that St. Croix you've got there. Obviously the environment, and this is something, if you get up there, I don't care who they are, everyone talks the same thing, is the environment's an important issue here. Talk a little bit about that and some of the issues you'd like to bring up if you are to get to St. Paul.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to agree with you. This area is utterly amazing.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Every time, you know, I talk with anyone about, you know, where do you live? Well, I live in Scandia, and they say, oh my gosh, I drive through Scandia all the time, going to my cabin or going to William O'Brien or enjoying Stillwater. And it's gorgeous. I love Scandia. And I couldn't agree more. And, you know, our environment is one of our number one issues. We have to pay attention to this. And we have to pass meaningful legislation that protects our environment, our air, our water, our soil, reducing chemicals. So that's something I'm very much so looking forward to working with my colleagues on in the House to really look at this and how we can make a difference. And I know that some of the things that are going around in St. Paul there now are get the let out legislation.
And the, you know, it's one of the things that's really interesting is that these are not controversial ideas. These are
right.
Good ideas, whether it's clean cars, whether it's get the let out, it's, you know, making sure we're not putting toxins into our water anymore. It's something that it is nice to finally see, especially after the last session and some of the Republican clowns we had to deal with then. But it's nice to see that the common sense is kind of coming through and people are saying, no, this is now, we need to fix this. And especially when you have a district that is as beautiful as yours, and yours is spectacular. The idea of whether it's, you know, bad development, you know, pollution there, or just, you know, just not taking care of the natural gift you've been given, that's just unacceptable.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why, you know, with my background in education and healthcare, I wouldn't say that the environment is my natural wheelhouse, but that's no reason to not become involved. And so I've just over the years done little things to educate myself and keep moving forward. One of the things that I started last year, I converted over to getting rid of my lawn and having more of a meadow.
Nice.
And, you know, those are things that people can do. You read up on it. There's lots of resources. All of a sudden, your lawn starts changing into a meadow. Your neighbors see it. They like it. I mean, I'm hoping that through those small efforts, we can make an impact.
Let's look at your you know, some of the things you'd mentioned that you actually have experience with and what you could bring to St. Paul with that. Let's sure. start with that. Let's start with education here. Obviously, we do have, I mean, I've got friends that move here and they're like, holy cow, is your education system good in this state? It is good. Mm-hmm. It's got problems. We got to fix some things. What are some of the things that you want to do, whether it's to preserve, you know, the education system we have or improve it? What are the things that you have on your agenda?
You know, supporting educators, I think, is our primary need.
Amen.
At this time. I mean, they have been through, and our students, they have just really been through it. And so standing with our public school educators, they need reduced class sizes so that they can do their job well. They need student mental health resources. The ESPs, they need increased wages. They need better working conditions, all kinds of things those ESPs need, and they're vital to the work that we do. And so I think that by supporting our educators, respecting them, respecting their working conditions, and really listening to them, in doing that, we make our students have a better experience. We make our public schools stronger. We make our communities stronger. And so I stand with with our educators.
Amen on that. And by the way, you brought up something, and we've talked about this here. I've been screaming this. We need more mental health professionals in our school education system, not just for the students, but for the teachers. It is such a need right now. We have a pretty good sized budget surplus. I'm hoping a good portion of that goes to the not just in the education, but the mental health issues that we have in the state, because we are on the precipice of a cliff. And if we do not put in immediate spending to mental health, we are going to have big problems in this state.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because just earlier today, I was reading that one of the asks that the teachers have for mental health resources is that they have one counselor in every school. That's yeah. their ask. And I read that just briefly, and I thought, one counselor to every school. Now imagine how many students are in each school. And the workload for that counselor, you know, and they're so reasonable. They're so humble in their asks, you know. And so, I mean, you can't possibly, you know, disagree that at least one resource, one counselor should be absolutely in every school. You know, I mean, just more than reasonable their asks are.
Carrie Mitchell is joining us right now, Democrat of the Day, 33B. This is a seat we definitely want the DFL to hold coming up here in September after the election. The health care, I mean, you can. There's 1,000 places we can go. You and I already mentioned mental health care. But, I mean, obviously, we found out when you have a pandemic that you're going to find all the weaknesses within your healthcare system. And through cost-cutting ventures, the closing of rural clinics, we created a mess here. You talked about praising teachers, which we should do every single day. We need to praise the doctors and the nurses who just went through this pandemic, although we still are not completely through it, that are still out there fighting every single day. It is just, you know, we have a lot of work to do to fix some of the healthcare issues that came to light, not that are problems that are due to the doctors or nurses, but a system that clearly is inadequate when it comes to major health crises like the pandemic that we just had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And think of it this way, too. You know, when you go in to see your healthcare provider, you know, you sit down, they're doing all kinds of work on the computer. They're following a real regimented schedule. So busy, so overbooked, and that's during normal times. You know, healthcare providers need to have the time to treat their patients so that we have improved health outcomes. We want good health outcomes. We want healthy people, healthy communities. And, you know, not only during the pandemic did we see these cracks, but everybody knows how busy these healthcare providers are that are providing the direct patient care. And how difficult that must be for them. So I believe that we need to take a serious look at how this system works, and are these healthcare providers under just too much strain, even in normal conditions? How can we address those things so that they're able to spend the time with patients that they need to help uplift our health and uplift our communities, uplift our lives through healthy bodies, healthy minds?
Couldn't agree more. And it's interesting. Let's touch a little bit on, you know, on something that was brought up on the State of the Union that the Democrats have been bringing up here is, you know, border to border broadband. And this is something that covers, you know, both the education element of it. We've seen the need for broadband in every community in the state, as well as the telehealth. I mean, if you're going to have a situation where the nearest hospital is 40 minutes away, you better have pretty good broadband there so that if there's, someone has to do a visual checkup on someone, they have the ability to do it without having it being interrupted because it's cruddy internet service. I think that if you get that spending down, I mean, that's just that's kind of building that foundation for especially the future healthcare system, the future education system, because let's face it, the chances of us having to go back to doing something remote are not exactly minute. It's probably going to happen at some point.
For sure. I couldn't agree more with the broadband. So I'll just tell you a little story about that.
Okay.
A number of years ago, you know, we don't have fantastic internet access out here in the Scandia area. And so a number of years ago, my neighbors banded together about 27 homes in my community, and we reached out to Midco and we promised we're all going to sign on with you. And so we had Midcontinent, and it's been great. And not too long ago, a couple years ago, it came through our city task force that we have. They did the rest of that for Scandia. So Scandia is getting better internet, which is wonderful because so many people work from home, right? And now with the pandemic, the kids are logging on. We need high quality internet for everyone. I can't imagine not having that, especially when you mention telehealth and all the opportunities that exist for telehealth. And so we need to make sure that we're getting this reliable, high quality internet to every Minnesotan, to every person, so that they have access to not only work, not only school, but also improved health access and health outcomes. Mm.
The one thing I want to talk about your district specifically, like you said, it's gorgeous. It really is. It is always amazing to me that you can drive only, you know, I'm in Hopkins, I can drive 45 minutes and I'm in part of the state that it just looks completely different and feels completely different. It's a part of the metro area that has been growing, though, and they've done a very good job, I think, of maintaining a lot of the natural beauty out there. There is more demand. The city is growing. It's a popular place. Everyone likes it, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and so you're going to get growth out there. Talk about making sure that growth is the roads are getting put out there, that it's not that kind of just quick build growth that basically ends up doing more damage than good. I mean, that you have an opportunity like Woodbury has and Maple Grove has done a pretty good job of it, of as this community is growing and more population moves out there because they're finding it to be wonderful, of making sure the growth that does happen and as it does take place is doing it the right way.
Are you talking about residential?
Residential, roads, everything, business development.
Everything.
Yeah,
well,
because
we need.
Mm-hmm.
We need good roads. We need good roads. We need to make sure that our bridges are safe. And I know, we've got our new Stillwater Bridge. They're working on Highway 36. But I will tell you this: I built in a community, a new community, two exclusive builders about 16, 17 years ago. And it was a community well and septic system, and it was privately funded. But I'll tell you, as we get into the replacement right now, looking at replacing water infrastructure, including the drain field and potential well, we don't have access to the infrastructure grants. And so I have now gotten on our community board to try to work with state and county agencies to figure out, okay, how are we going to have, clean water? How are we going to have McDated? And so it's got my wheels turning here and kind of thinking now, why was this set up like this now? Because I'm, in communication with some folks that are helping us with rural water issues, and they're wonderful, really. But I'm finding out that this is highly unusual, that you would have both a community well and a community septic system. So that is something that I want to look into more. Like, why was this set up like this? And so it's interesting that you should mention that. How can we do this well? And I think that making sure that we're protecting our water infrastructure through future, looking at how are we going to actually replace this as needed? Is it sustainable and affordable?
Mm-hmm. And that's the key, is that you're looking at something which it needs to be, you know, there needs to be an evaluation of it. And that's, this is the stuff. This is the sausage making. Eric Putnam, by the way, the senator from St. Cloud, he said the same thing. He goes, you know, this infrastructure bill that we put forward here, the problem he put out, he says, there's just too much of this stuff that needs to get done. It's all antiquated. It all needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. We're lucky we got a little bit of a budget surplus right now. I hope they kind of spread that around a little bit. But the reality is that, you know, Scandia, the districts in the communities in your district are the same as anyone else, is that if we don't upgrade this stuff now, well, it has to be done. It just, it's not something that's an option. So we can do it right, get it done the first time and in the correct way. And I think that that's the key. That's why you need good leaders like you, Carrie, there is because there's, you need to have people there that are going to put the right plan in place so that development happens correctly and you're not having to run back and fix this in 20 years. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's, you know, I have enough experience in different areas of, you know, health, education, and now, you know, with this rural water situation, that I can add a voice at the table as we look ahead and as we plan ahead. Say, this is what I've been through, this is what I've seen, and this is what we need to consider as we move forward. So, that is another reason really why I'm stepping forward to want to come down and represent my communities at the Capitol, to work together, to make good plans, to have strong, healthy communities and people in Minnesota.
Carrie Mitchell, once again, this is one of the things that's happened with the redistricting is people are kind of getting their feet on the ground and they're starting to get running here. You're in the process of getting your website up, correct?
Yes, I am, as we speak.
It will be voteforcarrie.com. I'll get that when it does come up and go live. I'll have that. I'll link to everything on social media. Currently, though, if people want to get information, is your Facebook page up and running?
It is. Yes. Yep. It's up and running. And I think we've got that as Carrie Mitchell for Minnesota State House Representative 33B. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is interested out there in volunteering for my campaign, I would love to hear from you. And you can email me at carrie4mn@gmail.com.
All right. I'll link to all this a little bit later on. I'll link to the Facebook page. Volunteer, donate. I mean, once again, this is a must-win district for the DFL. This is a must-win district. 33B, this is not far either. You can go, it's delightful. You go up there, have a nice weekend, do some door knocking, make a donation. This is an easy one. This is an easy layup of a district to go help. 33B is the district, once again, running from Stillwater to Scandia, a little bit over to Forest Lake as well. Carrie, all my best on the campaign here. We'll hopefully see you in St. Paul. And I will, once again, I'll link to everything on social media once it's up and running good, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Like, share, donate.